Okay, good. Beruchniyim. Ha'odnius Baruch Shmoy. We'll go back to where we saw last time. Kimoyshe becholtei habilti bal tachlis. Bora nimtsoy magufniyim sheroy meneinu. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created physical entities, kein rotza ubora nimtsoy macher me'ule mikoleilu. He created greater ones, better ones. Bilti murgashu mechashim nachushim shalanu, that are not felt or sensed by our senses. So we spoke last time, I'll just re-explain it. When we talk about something ruchni, we mean that they have clearly defined boundaries and descriptions, limitations, but nothing of their substance is felt with any one of our senses. And just like for the physical entities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave boundaries, He gave different sets of boundaries for these entities. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt was appropriate. The Omnam, Lefima shehugbal begvulam nedom etzleinu, shema gvulam ativin shvam negosh mechusheinu nikro gufni, umashe shulol begvulam elu nikro ruchni. So he makes the basic description. Material stuff are things that we feel, sense, and connect with one of our senses. Those things that exist and are defined, but don't connect to our physical self, that's called ruchni. And all of their ruchnistic entities are as appropriate. Are you still having a problem? Is there a problem still or not?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not quite.
So let me try the other one. Maybe it'll work there. I'm going to go to my other computer. I'll turn this off. You should be on the other one as well. Okay. So we'll try here. And let's. Let's try to reconnect. Okay, is this better?
This doesn't work.
Doesn't work? Better or not? Are you hearing me?
I hear. It's our end. It's not your end.
Okay. Good. So he says that the difference between the Ruchni and the physical is not whether there are gvulas or not, but whether it's tangible or not. I want to try to stop a minute and explain an important point over here. What is the point of these ruchniyistik and nivroim? Why? I mean, Mela, we're here because we're the tachas of the bria. The animals and the cats and the dogs and the trees and the grass is for us. But what do I need all of these ruchniyistik and nivroim for? Mela, things that we can feel, touch, interact with, is part of us. But all these things that are sort of these nebulous ruchniyistik nivroim, what's the point of them? And his next point is going to be that there are different types. It's not just he created a bunch of ruchniyistik things, but rather they come in different forms. Well, what's the point of it? So let's explain it like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to connect to him, Kaviyachol. You can't connect things that have no shaykhs one to another. There's, I think it's Aran, I don't remember who, one of Rishayim gives a mashal of when you have, let's say, a very, very thin thread that you want to pick up, and all you have is like these huge pliers, it's not going to pick it up. So what you do is you make a system. So just like LeMarshall, when I have a car that I'm driving, the wheel that I'm, the steering wheel is built for my size. It's something that I can handle in terms of, it fits me, it fits my body. It turns something else, which turns something else, which turns something else, turns something else, until it gets to the wheel that it's supposed to be turning, to the tire, and it turns it appropriately by having these series of connecting gears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shaychus to us is impossible when we're very chomri and physical, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is le'elo le'elo. So there's an almost infinite series of nivroim, ruchniim, lower, one lower than the other, until it gets to us. It's there are different stages that you can describe these ruchniim as you will in a minute. But that's why it's important to understand that you have a word used in Sfarim that describes this is called a hishtalshalus. It's like a step down transformer in electricity. It takes something that is incredibly powerful and in a certain sense almost useless because it's so powerful, and by coming down to us step after step after step, it now becomes extremely useful. V'tzor Shetere says, "Shekemoy shebigufnim yesh minim shaynim." Just like not all physical bodies are the same, ukefi hischalif amin ken yischalfu hachukim yuchadim loy. What defines a species is something that has a clear set of description, of rules, of traits. Ken beruchnim. You find all sorts of spiritual types. It's not ruchnistic beings. Ruchnistic beings is like saying physical beings. It includes a world of billions of different types. It includes a world of billions of different types, which we can classify like we classify things in this world. In broad categories, smaller categories, still smaller categories. Omnam, he says, Klal gadlu b'chol ha'suga ruchni, she'ein in yonai v'lei gvulav musil b'ez mai shehu. The one thing that we have to say about all ruchnistic beings is we never understand it the way it is. Al yadana mitzi'usam, we know they exist, uktsas in yonim in yonayhem, and some aspects, so let's understand the difference between we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because he's Ein Sof. There's no, there are no descriptions, and anything we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be said. So the only thing we can talk about is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us, and that's that. Malachim, for instance, I can say things about Malachim. I can make statements about Malachim. What I can't do is, I can't picture that to be like me. In other words, when I'm talking about a Malach, a Malach is a defined entity. And I can say it's higher, it's lower, it's better, it's worse. I can say different statements about a Malach, but I would be drastically wrong if I pictured it similar to myself. That's the difference between us and spiritual beings. Now, just to make something clear, if a person says,
a wrong statement. If a person says about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol, something that gives him a body, then the person is a kofa to some degree. If a person says it about a malach, he's not a kofa, he's just wrong. If a person says Malach Gavriel has a nose and ears and eyes, there's no kfir in that. It's just he's got the wrong Malach Gavriel. If that's what his Malach Gavriel is, then it's not him. But this is a property of these things. There's no mitzvah. The emuna of malachim, the emuna in this whole thing over here, is not. It's not similar to emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's similar, just like we have to be maimin, that if a person is mazeh parah adumah on himself, he becomes tahor. And if a person doesn't believe it, then he's being. Then his kfir is not a specific kfir in this. It's he's denying the validity of Torah. Torah says it's like that. So his avla is not that there's something holy about the parah adumah as much as he's being makhish the psukim in Torah. This is a mesiris that we have in Torah Shebaal Peh, and a person who doesn't understand it properly is missing in that. But it's very, very different. The belief in Malach and all these things are a belief that the Torah and the mesiris we have is mesiris emes. Vihine, mine asuga zeshloisha. There are three types of this type of ruchnisig beings. Ha'echad nikar koichas nivdolim. One are called koichas nivdolim. Hasheni malachim, hashis neshamas. Now, this phrase koichas nivdolim is the Ramchal's propriety name. He's the only one that I know of that uses it in this context. It's not a phrase that's used frequently, and certainly in this way to call a certain class of malachim kolos nevdolim, he does it. I want to explain a little bit why. The Ramchal was a fascinating person, whereas most mekubalim are content and b'shita content to learn Kabbalah as it is and say, okay, this is what it says. This is called this b'chin, it's called this b'chin, and that's it. The Ramchal tried to sort of give a rational structure to it and to interpret it. So he's calling it Kochos Nevdolim. It's really a term that only he uses. But it's a category, and he sort of, it's his own shtickle taira, understanding what it says. And it's important to understand the validity. It's just like the mashal. If a person's on answering a Rambam, if it's a really juicy Rambam, you'll go to the Sefer Mafteches of Frankel and you'll find 75 Sfarim that talk about it. Every one of them has to treat the Rambam as fact. Now, this is what the Rambam said, this is what the Ravid argues, this is what the Gemara says, the Gemara Shra, the Rambam, and so on. Everyone can put together the picture the way he wants, provided it makes sense and it stims in the Rambam and the Gemara. So what he's doing is he's taking his yediyah and saying, I will now categorize it into these categories. Neshamas versus Malachim, tons of places. The Neshamas, Nishmas Sadiqim versus Malachim, you find all over the place. The word Kochos Nevdolim, what he's describing certainly says, but he's the one who gives it this type of category. What are they? Hakochos Nevdolim, Hem Nimtsoim Ruchniyim Mishalolim Megufos. These are spiritual entities without a guf. Zakim Meulim Oid, extremely pure. Ve'Mayyose Kroiv Moshkanasi Yisparach, and they are closest to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Valehem Ushoret Tomit, and he's always there. V'Nikra B'Shemas Kefim Adigosam Galgala Akisa Afanim Kiyotzi. So what he does is, the Ramchal takes a lot of things that by us go into one lump. If you look in Yecheskel, if you were up by when they read the Haftarah on Shavuos, it's usually you know, Samach Zorim, it says Kan Noagu, to put your head down for, by Maftin in Eretz Yisrael, we get a bonus of Rus. Rus is the first day also, so Rus is definitely miyuchet for people to put their heads down. But Yecheskel, the first page of Yecheskel, describes the entire entourage of Malachim and Srofen, of Fanim and Chayas around the Kisa Kovetz, incredible Haftarah. These Malachim seem to be very, very different than the other Malachim we've encountered. Other Malachim are like roving Malachim. Rafal comes and visits different people, and Gavriel visits people, and Michal visits people, and they come and they do Fashid Nezachim, and so on. The Srofen, the Fanim, even the Kisei HaKovet, that's all, these are all Ruchnistike entities that ain't going no place. They're like in-house Malachim. So the Ramchal says, so this is a very different category in terms of when we're talking about stepping down the Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, this is the first Madrega. So all of those Malachim that are Mishuras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want to point out that the Kisei HaKovet is not furniture. The Kisei HaKovet means it's a certain Ruchnistika entity, which is the first instance of the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all a metaphor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sin anything. What it means is, just like a Shaifet, the Kisei holds up the Mishpat in place, so too the first darga of this Koach Nivdol is the first step from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always shared. This is kilu an entity that's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nikroim b'shemes k'verigosim galgala Kisei fanim ukiyotzei. Let's stop a second and ask ourselves the following question. Great. So the people who knew and understood Srofim, Rifanim, and Chayis HaKodesh, and Galgalim, and all these things, what's the point of understanding about these things? Other than just for curiosity's sake, what's the point of it? What are we learning? When a person is learning these inyanim, what is he learning when he's trying to learn about these entities? Yes?
It's like so busy with all these malachim and kriyas on the throne, how many times we talked about it in detail, like as if this is from such a figure on your side. It was always just interesting to me that it's so minor.
Who is this? Who you're quoting? Who speaks about it? Yeah. So let's explain why is it so important. Let's take science as a good example. When science didn't know about atoms and molecules, the most they could understand was how things worked at a physical level that was the level of eyesight. So if I wanted to understand why oil floats on water, I could only understand it in terms of what oil is like and what water is like. As soon as I could understand things on a deeper level, a molecular level, an atomic level, I could understand a lot more about it because I was able to understand it at a more sharistic level, and so on. When I'm able to look under a microscope at the tissue of a body, because we're able to see things more, we begin to understand how antibodies work and how they can and how they attach themselves to different bacteria, v'chulu. The klal is, the more shayrish of the kanhaga that I can be oimed on and understand, so if I understand the world of molecules, I understand a lot more about materials. When I understand the atomic world, I understand a lot more. V'chein hala. When I understood, when people understood the liver, not in terms of a chunk of liver, but cells, it opened up a whole new havan and tfisa for them. That's true in Ruchnius the same. If I need to understand Dark Hashem on the surface level, I can understand a certain amount. The deeper and the more sheirishtik the world is that I understand, I deher HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga on a much more sheirishtik oifin. It's just like the difference, if I look at a computer and I'm trying to figure out how to run a program and how to deal with the program I'm running, I can only look at the screen, and I can look at the widget, at the little buttons to press on the screen, and that's it. So the best I can do is understand all the chetimtzes that are available on the screen, and decide what I can do, what I can't do. If I have access to the program, and I know what a program is like, then I can inherit much better and understand why certain things are happening, how to get around it, and be much more effective. Klal Gadol, the more I'm tofes something on a sheirishtik level, the more I have the ability, the more I understand it, the more I inherit something from the sheirish, the better that's called understanding it better. And secondly, the tools are much greater. I can do so much more with it because I inherit mishrashe. Let's take an example in Torah. If I inherit Kriyas Yamsuf as a big meifis and a neis to show everybody the Yad Hashem Agdoila v'Anoira, fine. That's a deher. I can say a lot of musar on it. I can say a lot of Torah on it. That's good. But if I understand in the scheme of the makis which bechina the Yam is supposed to bring, the Kriyas Yamsuf, I can now understand maybe why it's Atem Cheshtach Rishon, Vashem Lachem. Why? It doesn't have an answer on the flat, on the surface, but if I'm able to inherit it much shorter ago, if I understand this belongs to the type of activities that there's no Malkum Tefillah for it, Lamashal, whatever it is. So the deeper my understanding is, the more sheirishtik it is, the better I have, I bet some have a more emissive picture of the thing, and I can deher a lot more, say a lot more, and work out a lot more things. That is the mile of having such a type of idea. So if I understand things on the level of the physical world, I have a mitzvah understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu and Haggis. If I understand the level of neshamas, how each mitzvah affects the neshamas, I have a much deeper one. If I understand malachim, if I understand korach nevdalim, the closer I get to it, the it means I inherited more sheirishtik, and it's a much, it's very very different type of havana. So he says korach nevdalim. Vehine is, so he says these are the three sugim, korach nevdalim, malachim, neshamas. So the korach nevdalim are the galgalei kisei nefanim. Hamalachim heim nimtzoim ruchniim. Shenivru lasos shlechus haboris baruch b'chol mashiach b'itz. Malachim do a Kadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen, and they go to all these different places. Now, so these entities, the what he calls the koyches nevdolim and malachim, have a big divide between them. Koyches nevdolim are shayach to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to this world. They don't do things. They're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Havayah Kaviyachol. They're part of describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, whereas Malachim are part of describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. It's a very big difference in terms of the hearing what they do. Malachim, they do shlichus. Ve'mimunim kol echad al inyam ha'shemasa ha'ratzalyan. And each one is mimune on something that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him to be mimune on. This is obviously also a very important hagdara. Malachim have real koiches, but the koiches are in a geda of shluchos olam kemoisei. They're not their own koyach. Let's understand where the nafkamina is. And this is a little harder to understand the chiluk, but it's important chiluk. We kibum shenitten reshus lemashchis lashchis ein emafchem en toiv lera. So klal gadol in hilchas malachim, that whenever they're out to do a mission, they're not mafchin between toiv and ra. Klal. It's a klal that helps us understand certain things. I'm entitled to say that this person was killed in battle because when there's a war raging around, whether you're a tzaddik or Russia, you get caught up with it, and the hanhaga of nitn reshu lamashchis, that is anhaga that's not mafchen between toiv and ra. If I understand it at the level of malach, somebody who dehears it at the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands it that betzim it's all zerasi yisbarach, and he will understand something over here. But for us, halvai, we understand at the level of malach. We have the messiahs that Chazal gave us, that when I'm looking at things from the anhag of malach, then that's sufficient. Let's take an example. The Gemara of something like that. The Gemara says that Pchinin Bedoisa used to put his foot on the pit of the snake. The snake bit him. The snake didn't die. He said la nochesh meimis, la chet meimis, la ored meimis, chet meimis. He was misha amal lechem yadlik, amal lechem yadlik. Anyone else who does that, who would put his foot on a pit and say that's averis that kill you, not that, well, he just did a very big avera, and he will be killed, and he deserves to be killed. Because our tfisa, in terms of what we understand to be true, and in terms of our emotional truth, is that there's a real world out there, and that if you run into a street with a car going 80 miles an hour, you will have been, you will no longer be. That's our emes. And if a person talks differently, he's lying to himself, doesn't know what he's talking about. There was one person, Rechina Mendoza, that could do that. Because Rechina lived in a world where he was already holding in the chibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to the Malach, and the Malach didn't exist for him. But that's when you gear it to that, to a whole different darga. It's just like if I were to ask you, this piece of wood, is it solid or not? The answer is, for me, it's 100% solid. For a scientist who's shooting a little particles, protons and stuff like that at the table, 99% of them pass through. It's all empty space. And he needs to think, why do I feel differently? Why does he shoot his little particles and they just go straight through because there's nothing there? And why, when I put my hand down, it hurts because there's something really there? But I dare things at the macro level, and at that level, this is solid. If I'm a scientist, I dare things at a very different level. The understanding the pnimius of Hanhagas Nakarish Baruch Hu means I have to deher it that way. And when I deher it that way, I deher an emes that's more shayrishtik. The one thing that you can't do is cheat. It does you no good to say, this is 99% air. I'll bang my hand down. Your hand will not go through it, I assure you. And if it does go through it, it's because it broke the wood and it's going to hurt an awful lot. The scientist with his gun has different tools, and his reality, it's air, it's empty. 99% of his of the particles that he shoots at this table go straight through it, as if there was never a table anywhere. So understanding the more shayrishtik anhaga and being there, the rules of the game will be kefi the level that you're at. So malachim are there, each one is a memuna. So this is the point I want to get through. Each malach is a memuna in an area. So it's true that the malach, is mashkes, but it's not because he has koyach. It's not because he has an ability. It's because the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave him such a koyach. And it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, to give him, to grant him that koyach. And that's why we can learn about malachim, and it's appropriate to understand which inyanim are caused by malachim and what and how it works, because that's real yediyah, that's real havana. But it's wrong to daven to a malach, because the malach has no independent koach whatsoever. A malach is sahakol granted koach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a very, very important distinction. So they are all memuneh al inyan mashamasa ratzon elyon. Ratzon elyon endowed him. So just like a king appoints a minister, so the minister will act in a very, very discretionary way. The minister will act kol yocheldik. But the one thing that has to be remembered is that it's all shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes mi less of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh ben madrega shayne zu lemata mizu. And there are different dargas of malachim. V'chol madrega mehem yeshem chukim u'gvulim k'fish anos lehem apiroch mayan. And each madrega has its own chukim, its own kolalim, about where it is. And that's why in Chachmas HaPnim we learn about different worlds, one higher than the other, and there are different things that happen at different worlds that are shayach more to this world than to that world. And finally, the third category, Haneshamis hem nimtsoyim ruchniyim meutodim lovi begufos ulischabevem. Neshamis are ruchnistik inyanim that have been designed to enter bodies and become a chuba for likshvim kesher gadol. Okay, so first of all, a neshama comes way before the body. A neshama is a ruchnistic entity which is designed to be able to come down to a guf. So just like a malach is designed to come down to the world at large, and a kohes and gadolim are designed to be the, so to speak, the host of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, these are designed to be shared to a person and to be niskasha with a tremendous kesha to the guf. Let's talk about this and understand a little bit about the kesha of neshama to the guf. Understand what that means. The real of all the inyanim we're learning here, the most peladika one is this inyan of the neshama being kosher to the guf. Let's give a mashal why it's so absurd. If I tell you that in this cup I had tea, which I did, it certainly makes a lot of sense. It's a teacup, and I'm supposed to have tea in it. If I told you that in this teacup I had molten metal, molten steel, so you would be kind of very, very skeptical. Especially you'd wonder why in a Dixie cup, molten steel didn't just burn a big hole through it. How could it stand the pressure of molten steel? But okay, I said a statement that is a meaningful statement, but there are a lot of kashas of whether the statement is true or not. The statement is meaningful, but it's not clear whether it's true or not. Let's say I tell you that in this cup over here, I had three svaras that I put in here, and I put over it. You're going to ask me what I've been inhaling lately. What does it mean I put three svaras into here? What's into here? How does a svara fit into here? It doesn't mean anything. It's not hot molten steel is meaningful when I say put into the cup. But it's a problem, it's a kasha, it's not mistava. But when I say put three svaras into here, there's nothing, I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean a neshama is my guf? My guf is a physical entity. For something to be inside my guf, to be attached to my guf, it needs to be somehow attached. Since a neshama is a ruchnistic entity, and it has no common denominator, whatsoever with the goof, how do they connect? One. So how do they connect is an abstract question, because you know it's like we know they're connected, but let's hear the connection and understand where they really are connected. If I go and I put my finger on something hot, it sends a message to my finger that it's hot. It sends a pain reflex. It makes a welt or a welt happens, and this is my reaction to heat. So heat is a physical entity. My hand is programmed. The nerves are programmed to feel heat, to react to heat. My skin is programmed to react to heat in a certain way, and so on. That's gufnius be gufnius. The interaction is real, and it makes sense. Let's say I have in myself drives, hunger, thirst, physical to motivate stimulus, fright. When I see a big, huge animal coming at me, I run, I turn white, I turn red, I sweat. Those, because it's a physical entity, it's threatening my physical well-being, my body reacts to it, it's sort with my eyes and so on. Let's say I did an aver ben adam l'makom, a very bad aver, chas v'shalom, and I'm very ashamed of myself. I'm very stressed because I felt that I did something not right. That's a ruchnistic pain. Why is my body at all affected by it? Why am I, the physical self, my heart, it beats quicker or is depressed and doesn't beat, and I breathe rapidly and I turn white and I turn red. I live ruchnius. I have a sense of things ruchnius. On a Yom Kippur, I feel very elevated in a way that sometimes I don't want to eat even. I just feel very elevated. Where does a ruchnius tika hargasha attach itself through a guf? And vice versa. When I have a genuine ava, ish v'isha, covet, ben la'aviv, those hargashas, when they're appropriate and right, are a seed, they're sort of a dogma of these inyanim lamala. How is any shaykhis, ava, is the word is ava. Ava is a marshal for something else. By being a marshal, it means there's some element of similarity to it. There's some element of similarity of busha. All of these inyanim, those are physical entities that feed the neshama. Where my neshama is going to come up after 120, it's some total of experience will be what my guf experienced. Sitting and learning, Suda Shabbos, shaking a little of an estrig, those are all hargashas that will have become distilled and part of my ruchnis, my neshama. How does that work? How do you put two things together that have no intersection? It's just like the svara doesn't fit into it because there's no intersection. Svaras don't have place, they don't have time, and there are boundaries, and the cup is a pure physical piece of thing. And yet, my guf is attached to neshama in two most important ways. I feel neshama in me, and I sometimes have hargashas that the only makor and shoresh could be a neshama. I gave away somebody a meal of mine. I had some money saved up, and I gave it to somebody totally. And what drove me to do it, and my hargash about it is all positive. It's because something ruchni is feeding into my system. And me'idach gisa, the hargashas that I get in this world are hargashas that do translate to ruchnis in a much, 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 much more refined level, but they do. That's the pella of, and that's what, and he says, so every single guf, every single neshama has a guf that's ready for it, and to be mischaba, the likshabem kesha gadol, and the kefi inyanam fiam tzavim shalhem, as is the matzah, pirush. A neshama has different phases. Yesh la metzias chutz aguf. The neshama existed before my body was here and will exist afterwards, metzshem. Or metzias betoich aguf. Va metzias chutz aguf u mishnei minim. Ha echad metziasen term yosem aguf. Va sheilzasen chutz aguf achash kohayu boi. U kvi kol amatzav me'elu ke nigbolim begvulim v'nasim alulim l'mikrim shayinim eschalfin. They therefore have the ability, they interact with different things in different ways. Kifi ma sheyos l'matzav shein boi. As appropriate to their matzav. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions? Just closer to the mic. Yeah, I'm worried. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Mishimir.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Mashkef,
yeah.
Why did they need to do that? That was because the title was on Lord Matigma. This interesting of the Mashkef doesn't have a...
Yes. Because there was a Malach there, and the Malach is not Mavchin, so just like when there's a Magefa, and we might say it comes because of Averis, but it's not Mavchin between Toiv and Ra, so too the Malach needs to have a physical Avchon, he needs to have a clear Maisa Mitzvah, the Dam to be Mavchin between Klaiso and someone else. Correct, but there was also that's a kasha. It says ani ani v'le malach, but it says that besides a kadosh baruch hu, they were also unleashed koyches of hashchasa. So a kadosh baruch hu himself certainly there's no. I mean, a kadosh baruch hu's when kavi yochel he's oimid mishpat. It's very exact, but there was also koyches of hashchasa loose that night as well, and that mashchis. It would destroy anything unless we clearly gave it kavulas. The mashkes can't be oimed on the difference between tzaddik and rasha, yisrael and akum. The mashkes can be oimed on the difference between if there's dam on the pesach or no dam on the pesach. No, but there was also besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says there was a mashkes also. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought with him. He came down, but there was also kochos of Ralus. It says it before, I think. Okay. Good. Okay. Sagutin. Let me just.